Hello.
Hey, Laura Beth.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am plugging right along.
Better than the alternative.
It is. I always say hanging in is better than falling out.
Amen. Preach.
Yeah. Well, we're finally here.
We are. After a long journey.
Long time. Yeah. Welcome, everyone, to Going Nowhere.
Which we've been for a long time. We've been going
everywhere. Well, they say you should talk about things you know?
Right.
And we know a lot about getting nowhere.
We're experts.
We're experts at it. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But, yeah, I'm Laura Beth Bucklider.
I'm Cynthia Becca Davis.
And we have decided to co-host this little adventure together. And so, yeah, the name, Going Nowhere. There's some other things out there called Going Nowhere. There's, interestingly enough, a Burning Man regional event in the desert of Spain.
Ooh.
That's called Nowhere.
Ooh. It sounds like a place we should go.
It does really kind of sound like a place we should go. And yeah. So Going Nowhere, it's an odd name for a podcast.
It sure is.
It does not sound very ambitious. We know that.
We're not, the bar is so low. It is so low.
We're not
low
blind to this. It really is. It really is. And so, but what, let's just talk a minute about how we came to the name.
Yeah.
And what it means to us. We have been talking about doing a podcast together for about a year and a half.
Oh, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, actively.
Actively, it's in the works.
It should be, yeah, we've had outlines. And one of the things that never really solidified for us was a name.
No. And you had, a whiteboard at one point with,
I did.
Yeah.
No, I was full on whiteboard.
Like, almost like a murder wall.
This. It kind of was, yeah. We could do a podcast on my whiteboard. Something that would be scary. There would be some professionals that might want to weigh in, but there was just something about that name being elusive that the whole thing
the kind whole of thing became elusive. If you can't name it doesn't exist.
It didn't have an identity,
right?
And you know, we have the reason we want to do this is because we enjoy great chemistry together. We're good conversation partners. But there wasn't anything just bringing this project together until last January, and we were out at the Q Christian Fellowship Conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we were just talking about this before we hit record. There is something magic about waffles in Albuquerque.
Oh, yeah. I mean, waffles in general, but in
waffles
Albuquerque,
in general.
It just, like, it elevates. It elevates the waffle.
It really did for some reason.
So
we were sitting down talking about this again. And I don't even know which one of us said it. But, actually I kind of do because I wrote a song.
Yes, it did. You wrote a song.
Yeah.
And it had to do with, had we already had the Q Live night? Was it before
or
after? This was after Q Live.
Yeah, because that was Friday night. This was Sunday morning. Yeah, this was our last day at the conference together. And the song is just about, learning that going nowhere is okay. We don't have to be constantly on the go and constantly pushing ourselves to be somewhere. I was raised with the idea that, and in a culture, that if you're not moving forward, you're moving backward.
Mm-hmm. I know, and I'm always, the question that's always kicking around the back of my mind is like, oh, well, where is this going? Where is this going? If I do this, where is it heading? Where is it leading?
Right, yeah, which is also part of our stymie in getting the podcast on.
Exactly, because we didn't know where it was heading.
Where it was heading. It just resonated with us in that moment.
You had the night of Q Live when we had some amazing entertainment. That was your admonishment.
Oh, that was my theme.
Yeah, that was your theme. That was like almost the blessing that you put over the evening was, we're going nowhere. we're going nowhere. But it was like such a flipping the concept on its head, in my mind anyway, is like this evening is going nowhere, but it's going nowhere because we're going to be present. We're going to be here. We're not going anywhere but being together in this room.
But being together in this moment. Yeah.
That's what resonated with me.
Thank you for these bringing these memories up because that just feeds into what happened next, because we get back to you to Virginia, me here to Indiana, and life starts happening at a crazy pace. I mean, it was just an odd season of transition
for
and
both
different
of
things
us
shifting
was.
For
yeah.
both of us. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we would talk about it occasionally and get on the same page. And then there was travels and work and not work. And I mean, all of these things.
So many things.
Yeah. And then maybe 2 months ago, we get back on the phone. And we're like, okay, where you reached out to me. And it's like, hey, are we still doing this? I'm like, yes. Yes, it's still happening. But I get back on the phone and I'm back to square one. I'm like, what are we calling this? And you're like, we already decided this. It's going nowhere. And it's like, as soon as you said it, all of those positive, happy feelings of waffles in Albuquerque came back to me.
I know. And it's just like it re-energized the whole thing again.
It did. Yeah. No, it got exciting. And yeah, so here we are.
Yeah.
Going nowhere. So episode one, this is really, we're just kind of going to introduce some format stuff here. And this is going to evolve as it goes somewhere.
I mean, we hope, even as
we hope it does,
nowhere.
Even if it's nowhere. Yeah. Yeah. Going nowhere means we're not pushing it anywhere.
It can go on its own.
It can go on its own. Yeah.
Like a paper airplane. You just kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we watch it and we're like, oh, wow, that's out there fine. I folded that. What do you know? So, but for now, we're going to keep it simple and we're going to kiss it. And there's just going to be three little sections. So the first one is kind of what we're doing now. And that is, the recent past is what I'm calling it. Being present with each other.
Yeah. And what brought us to the moment that particular day, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of clearing out, both the sweets and the garbage of what's.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you find me? Where do you find me today?
Right. Yeah. Who is showing up in this moment? Because there are lots of different me's that can show up.
So many personas.
So many. So many. Yeah. And then we're going to move on to the near future, which is being present in the world. So being present in the moment doesn't mean we ignore the world.
I'd like to sometimes.
Sometimes it's very convenient. And sometimes it's
even desirable.
Right. Yeah. I've just noted that in the last week and in the week to come, people have done a great job of, or the next few days to come, people have done a great job of ignoring politics and being present with the Olympics.
Yeah, I know.
And I think we needed it as a culture. We needed a deep breath before we come into this next season.
But things are going to get real.
Right. Yeah. So this is going to be a chance to focus on the world around us, but not just carte blanche. I mean, there's not much, I don't know of anything that we wouldn't talk about necessarily.
I don't think anything's like just off limits across the board. I can't think of anything
right.
like that.
Yeah, but we want to focus on things that we actually know a little bit about.
Yep.
There is such a trend in our culture and in the dissemination of knowledge that, and I use the word knowledge there loosely, that as people, as we share things, as we talk about things and read things, we tend to have a chance to weigh in on things that we know nothing about.
I mean, we've even seen that with the Olympics. As much as that has
been
been a refreshing moment, but also we've had some times of, I mean, people just, they're experts on so much.
On so many things.
Just know it all.
Yeah, and not just athletics, but culture. And,
yeah, exactly. Ever since
it's touched culture and religion and gender. And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not to mention everyone also really knows how a discus should be thrown, apparently.
And, right? Who doesn't?
Yeah, right. Because I was just out throwing some yesterday. And
just out in the backyard.
Just out in the backyard, hurling some discus and a couple javelin just for fun. But.
And I mean, we know how to judge gymnastics. I mean.
Well, we've been doing it every 4 years all of our lives.
Right? So yeah. we know a quality performance when we see one. And
right.
We know those deductions are going to come into play.
Exactly. So there are things that I'll speak for myself here. There's things that I am passionate about in the world that I have not done the work to study and learn.
Ooh.
And, you know, hopefully the idea is that we will have guests on here with us who will talk to us about those things. And the goal is to go nowhere in those moments and just be present and listen and learn.
That's the missing piece in some of the cultural dialogue, right? Is the listening piece.
It really is. Yeah.
You want to just be throwing that conversational ball, like back and forth, like, you know, and everybody's always talking. But in order for that to work, somebody's got to be listening. And I think we're missing that.
Yeah. And the Olympics may be a great metaphor here, just because everything is a competition.
Right.
Everything needs to be won. Including our conversations. Everything's a debate. Everything's a...
Yeah.
Yeah, so being present as listeners and showing up in the space. So when we bring up news articles in this current events type stuff, it's going to be things like, for me, it's music and art and theology and philosophy, things that I have actually invested time and energy in.
Exactly.
Know a little something about.
Yeah. Things that we've done the work on. I was thinking about that even as, you know, I've been talking with various people about some of the things that people are going on about the Olympics that they think they know about. Like, well, we've really got to understand where we've reached the limits of what our personal knowledge is, and let's bring in some experts. And like, I didn't completely know what was going on in the opening ceremonies other than it was like super cool. I loved watching it. I loved watching all the cultural moments, but I needed like people that were experts in mythology and that sort of thing to explain what was happening so I could appreciate it even more. And I think that you and I both have, we have passions that we know some things about. I like to think I know some things about teaching, about writing. You know, those are my areas, my wheelhouse. But, you know, there's other things I really don't know much about. And that's where I want to invite guests to come in and let's just all sit and listen.
Yeah. There might even be, don't tell anyone, there might even be things that I know nothing about.
What?
I know, right?
Absolutely nothing?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, man.
Absolutely nothing. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And we can still be interested in them and know absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, I have found that the knowing nothing actually is a great place to start in learning more. So.
I think sometimes when we think we know things, it can be a barrier to actually learning them in a fuller and better way, because we don't want to listen to somebody explain something because we're like, oh, I already know that. I don't want to be taken to square one. Well, we might have been wrong from square one and need a refresher on that square one.
Right. And if we're listening with what we think we know, then we're trying to fill in gaps.
Yes.
With facts between polls that shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Exactly that.
We're filling in gaps that
dismantle
don't actually
it and
exist.
Let's build it from the ground up.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, sounds a lot like reconstruction.
Ooh. Maybe some
we'll
of our people
maybe
listening
we'll talk
might
a little bit about that
it.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Something actually that you and I are both qualified to talk about, if I might say so.
If we dare say so ourselves.
If we dare say so ourselves. Yeah. Yeah, so What are some things that you're going to want to bring to the table? I mean, you mentioned your teaching and your writing. And
yeah, well, I'm starting a whole new kind of chapter in my life. It's new and not new at the same time. Like, I am officially taking the helm at work of a program that I've been helping to build since day one. And okay. that's, we now have a journalism program at my school. And we had a couple of...
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Because we're going to take advantage of this because I'm interested in this, but you're getting into one of my later questions.
For
episode one, our first guest is you.
And it's me.
So we're gonna move into our section that is the here and the now.
Yeah.
And that's being present with our guests. And so if you missed it because we were talking so much, it's the recent past, the near future, and the here and the now.
The here and the now.
And so the here and the now. And just because I can, we're gonna throw a little bumper in to welcome our guest. Our guest today is my dear friend, Cynthia Baca Davis. Cynthia is a published author in multiple genres, contributor to multiple news media outlets, and a professor of, I said creative writing, but that's not right. Is it?
No,
it's journalism. It is journalism.
I have been a professor of creative writing.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was like I taught creative writing along with composition and various other things.
Right, other things. Okay, and, so it's mostly...
Mm-hmm.
And you're at Christopher Newport University.
Correct.
Yeah, in Chesapeake?
No, good old Newport News, Virginia.
It's in Newport News. Okay, yeah, Newport. I should have, yeah. In my notes, I just said in the Tidewater area, but
yeah,
I got cocky and tried to name it.
The Tidewater area, Hampton Roads, you know, for those who are more broad,
in the
broad strokes.
Yeah, right there around where the bay meets the ocean.
Yep. And,
yep. That's the Chesapeake Bay.
The Chesapeake Bay, yes.
On the East Coast, not the bay on the West Coast, which
different
is
bay.
San Francisco, I guess. But different bay, different coast. All good people, though. Most of all, for our sake, in our context, Cynthia is a storyteller and a collector of people's stories.
Ooh. I've used that terminology before, have I not?
I think you have. Yeah. Yeah. And I got to know Cynthia from the publishing of her last book, and was honored to be asked by the Christian Century to write a review of the book, which meant I had to read it, because as we said, we don't talk about things that we haven't actually invested.
Nobody would endorse a book that they haven't read.
Or criticize a book. Yeah. And so as I was reading this book called Intersection, about a friend of yours with intersex variations, and it felt like you were telling my story.
Yeah, things got weird really quick.
It really got weird really fast.
Yeah.
And I was writing this review, so I wanted to remain somewhat, you know, non-biased in doing that. So I didn't want to reach out to you until after I had written it.
I remained a stranger throughout the
review. You remained a stranger, yeah. So some journalistic integrity there. But as soon as I was done and written and I'd submitted it, I got in touch with my friend Megan, who had connected me with project in the first place, and I was like, you've got to connect me with Cynthia. And everything from obviously the intersex, well, not obviously, being intersex is part of my journey, but
yes, to us, but not to the group,
right? Yes. Yeah. Being raised in the military, like Danny, the subject of your story, was like, we were probably at some of the same concerts.
I think when we all sat together, we broke it down. And there were, like, you guys should have met at least half a dozen times.
Half a dozen times.
Or more.
Yeah. No, literally in the same place, same time.
Same time period, same, like, you circled each other.
Late 80s. And yeah.
Yeah. You were circling each other, living almost like parallel lives.
Yep.
Wait, circling and parallel. Those seem like oxymorons, but I feel like that's what was happening.
We were circling each other, living pale life. No, I can make it work.
Okay.
There's yeah, some actual beautiful, happening. Yeah, choreography happening there.
Yeah, a lot of choreography.
A lot of choreography.
And yeah, so when you reached out to me, we got Danny in on it, and that's when we all got on a Zoom, and that's when we're comparing all of these notes from, like, for the first hour, you and Danny were just volleying back and forth. Well, I was here, well, I was doing this, and I knew this person. Well, wait, you knew that person, I knew this person. And it was like, how do you guys not know each other, and how have you not known each other for 30 years?
Yeah, like we, did we overlap a year?
I think you overlapped.
A year at Bible college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Bible college is not big, so.
It's not big, yeah. So now there are some just very big gender distinctions when you're in a Bible college usually, and so those don't always mix very fully. And being in my first year, there was specific first year classes, so it's likely that we didn't have any classes together or anything.
Right. I don't think we nailed anything that specific down, but you were
right.
Like,
but we were on the same campus.
Same campus.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my getting to know Cynthia story, and so just for the sake of our interview today and everyone else getting to know you and love you and enjoy you as much as I have, just give us some updates. What has been going on since you published the book? It's been 5 years?
No. 2 years.
2 years.
2 years.
Why did I get 5 years?
Because all of the stuff in the book took place over like 10 years. Like literally the book covers nearly... Well, no, not an 8-year period. The book covers an 8-year period.
Like about eight, yeah.
And it's been out for 2 years. So there's your 10 years. There it is.
Yeah, I said 5.
Well, you said
so
5.
I came up with it. So there's my 10 years, and there's two of us. So we'll divide that by two, and there I got 5 years.
This is where we need the mathematician to come
in. Mathematician. So, again, this is why we don't talk about things. So okay, so the book has been out for 2 years now, and just talk to me a little bit about what's been going on what's been going on with the book. And,
The book just had a birthday. The book just had a birthday. Yeah. Just had the second birthday a couple days ago, so I got to reflect already on this question because, I mean, is the book on the New York Times bestseller list? No, it's not. I mean... We'd like it to be, but isn't. You know, have they made a movie? No, they've not made a movie. It'd be a darn good movie.
And it would be a great
good
movie.
They, whoever they are, should make a movie because it would make a great movie. But at the same time, like, those aren't my bars for has it been a success. It has changed my life. And one of the biggest ways my life has changed since the book came out is things like what we're doing right now, Laura Beth. Like just the people who I've had a chance to get to know, to befriend. You know, we talk about how we went to Q. We had an amazing time, by the way, at Q this past year.
That was a gift. Yeah. Yep.
Like things like that. Like, those are the experiences the book is brought
away. So just to give some context, we're talking about Q Christian Fellowship, which is an annual conference and an organization for queer Christian people. This was your first time to the conference, and there are a lot of allies that attend and are a beautiful part of that community. Your first time there, but we kept running into people that you knew.
It was
or
crazy.
Had been connected to and never met in person. And
it was like my Instagram feed just became live and animated. And, all
and in real person.
In real time. Like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, I like all of your posts. Or we did a podcast together. Or, you know, just all of these connections with people that I knew virtually. Every time we turn a corner, there's somebody else. And that was an incredible experience. And I think it's those things that the book brought into my life. In a way, it just opened up a whole new community of people.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah,
by engaging Danny's story.
Yeah, exactly.
And from a very authentic place of your own. And the book covers your journey to acceptance and to becoming an ally. a full-fledged ally. And as well as Danny's story and then where the two of you intersect.
Because we would definitely went through a journey like side by side.
Parallel, circling each other.
We're back to all that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I would have said, I mean, the reason why Danny and I connected is because I had a reputation for being an ally. But I didn't at that point truly know what it took to be an in the trenches ally. And going through Danny, you know, going through that transition with him, because he had been born female, been, you know, assigned female at birth, and lived as a woman, even though everything inside of him is like not fitting that whatsoever. And even his physical body, when he hit adolescence, his physical body started matching what was inside, but because of society, he just could not see a path toward living as he truly was until his body started making that that choice for him. And
and a lot of that society that around him was that Christian,
conservative Christian,
more fundamental conservative.
We've got, you know, the binary, like we've got male and female, check a box. And that's his reality. So when he could not go on living the way he had always lived, and which was not a full and satisfying existence. It was very, you know, he was almost masquerading every day to give society what they wanted to see, what they expected to see.
Right.
So when Danny and I became friends, and Danny said, "Hey, I'm going through this what felt that time to be a very horrible, you know, weight of having to tell everyone about what was going on and make some changes in his life." He says, "I need a friend." And I'm like, "Ah, I can do that." And, but not really at the same time, knowing that there's personal cost, because when you are close enough to a situation, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but there's a progressive minister that basically said, if you're not getting hit by the same stones that are being thrown at the people that you are, of the marginalized people that you're standing near, if you're not close enough to get hit with those same stones, you're not standing close enough, basically. So if you're starting to get hit by the stones and feel the sting a little bit, then you know that you're kind of venturing into, that's what it is to be an ally. And I think prior to that, it was just like, oh, I can have queer friends and I can, you know, enjoy their company, and that's great. But
I can be kind. I can do the bare minimum.
The bare minimum
goodness of humanity.
Right.
Call that allyship, and
that's being an ally. So as Danny experienced those things, I started experiencing those things. But we like ended up at the, I mean, how do you define what the end is? We ended up at, you know, a point in the journey, realizing that we have both changed incredibly, like unrecognizable as the same people almost.
Yeah. So, again, I my deepest connection with you is as a storyteller and a collector of stories, and you have been great to honor mine in our friendship and get to know that. Translate that to the here and the now. What does that mean as far as your wanting to do this podcast, and what are you hoping? I wrote this down. I should just read it because I already thought through this question. What makes you excited about doing this podcast from the context of being a storyteller? And
I think that stories are the greatest teacher that we have. I can't think of a better teacher that we have as humans than stories. I mean, Jesus used stories. Jesus brokered in stories all the time.
We only know Jesus by the stories of other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that stories are incredibly valuable, incredibly powerful, and our brain is wired for story. For instance, I could throw out a huge statistic and tell you how many millions of people are affected by X, and X could be anything. Oh, millions and millions of people face this problem. And that number is huge, and it's going to go over your head as it goes over my head and be like, yep, sad, millions of people. But if I told you about, say, you know, little Jimmy, who's maybe he's experiencing homelessness, living in the back of his car, trying to get ready for school every day, trying to stay nourished. And, you know, his mom is, you know, working three jobs and they still can't get out of their situation. If I start to bring little Jimmy to life for you, all of a sudden you're going to get invested and you're going to care and you're going to have questions. Well, how does he do this? How does he do that? How can you do homework in the car? And where do you get breakfast? If we start to care about an individual experience, our brains are really powerful and also very not powerful at the same time. Because numbers, especially if you're like Laura Beth and I, who, you know, 5, 10, what is it? We don't know.
Whatever.
Big numbers just kind of, they don't stick. They don't have impact. But a story has impact. A story helps us to feel, and a story helps us to maybe build empathy in a way that just numbers won't. So the podcast is just a vehicle for us to collect more stories, right? We have all kinds of a cast of characters that we'd like to invite. Perhaps we'll invite people we don't even know yet. Maybe we haven't met some of our guests yet. We don't know who they'll pick up, right?
Exciting. The first few, we'll know just because we're going to use them unapologetically to knock the cobwebs out. our first guests are you, and then our next one is me.
Oh, so, man, shocker. Yeah.
Right.
Spoiler alert, folks.
We just were planning on having a lot of cobwebs. So, getting off to that start. So I'm going to go off script a little bit here.
Ooh, dangerous.
We mentioned Jesus and the Jesus using stories and knowing Jesus through stories. We've mentioned progressive Christian authors and such. So in talking about this podcast and in talking about your life, we even talked about Q Christian Fellowship.
No.
Is this a Christian podcast?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Is this a Christian podcast? Well, like, we have to define our terms, right? Like, I've got to be extremely transparent in that I think the word Christian has so much baggage right now that it's hard to go bandying that term around without knowing what do we mean when we talk about Christian. What does Christian mean? Because there are a lot of people calling themselves Christians that are, in my opinion, doing things that are living in ways that are absolutely polar opposite than I think Jesus would have lived.
Yeah. I saw a quote, reminded of a quote from Mahatma Gandhi recently, and he said, you're Jesus I like, you're Christians I do not.
Right. That. Yeah. So if we use this term Christian, what does that look like? Is it more accurate to say something like spiritual, or is it more accurate to say Christian mysticism? Or, I mean, what arena are we brokering in?
And I think that's part of the beauty of going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we don't have to label it. Being present in the moment means that we're going to be present with the stories that are being brought to us.
Yeah, labels can be... okay, so here's the oxymoron, right? Terminology is important. Yeah. Facts are important. Specificity is important. But at the same time, labels can box you in.
Right.
So that is... It's just one of those paradoxical truths. What do you do with that? I don't know what you're going to do with that.
Yeah, you sit with it. and you don't feel like you have to do anything with it. Just let it be for a minute. So, okay, one more question, and then we will wrap it up.
Yeah,
pretty much on time from what I was targeting. Not that, like, you know, we're on air going to a commercial break or anything, but I had a time in mind, and we're
just cut in.
Yeah, exactly. <It's> like, we'll save a space for you. What? And this is just to, since I threw you a whammy right there. This is just a softball question.
Okay, all right.
What is one thing that you find most relatable about yourself?
Oh gosh, I don't think I take myself too seriously. So I go to the gym sometimes with two different socks on.
The same foot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing's out of the question.
Fair. Yeah.
I try to be the same person as much as I can be in various contexts. So hopefully people that would get to know me on this podcast, if they met me in real life, it would be a similar experience. Like you and I, Laura Beth, we met online and we did Zooms and we did mostly just Zooms, I guess. We'd have like happy hour together or whatever.
Yeah.
But when we met in real life, it was seamless. Mm-hmm. It was just a seamless transition. And there were no like big surprises, and there was no like, oh, I didn't pick up on that. I think that's, I try to be, when we talk about relatability, I try to be as consistent as I can be across different mediums and in different contexts, and also not taking myself too seriously.
Yeah, I'd vouch for both of those things, and not in a, you're very, serious about your professionalism. You take your work very seriously, but in the process, you don't take yourself too seriously, and that makes you very approachable.
Yeah, the work is serious, right? The work is really
serious.
It is.
It absolutely is. Yeah.
Me, I'm just a container for the work. I'm a flood container, leaky. You know?
Well, I am very excited that we are getting this off the ground.
Me too. And, gosh. It feels like, I don't know, we're going somewhere with this. I don't know.
I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've gone now 37, 38 minutes into it. So that's somewhere.
Somewhere.
That is a little bit of somewhere. all in the name of going nowhere. So, so usually at this point in a podcast, I would tell you like where to follow us on Instagram, but we don't have an Instagram set up yet.
No, just our personal ones.
Just our personal ones. And we'll get those out there eventually and do all those things. But so our next episode, we can tease that, as I already did a little bit. You're going to be interviewing me.
Yay. Do you expect the same questions or...
No, it's your interview.
Wow.
So you get to, so part of, yeah, no, and you probably should. So part of the goal of this was just for us to kind of get more familiar with and others to get familiar with each of our interview styles.
Yeah.
And how we're doing it, because that's kind of part of the chemistry that we have together. So any parting thoughts?
It's been fun going nowhere. I've enjoyed that.
It has. Yeah. Just for a minute.
Just for a minute.
Yeah. It's a good habit to get into.
Yeah, it's almost a little meditation.
It is. I mean, yeah, some laughter.
Yep.
You and I don't connect without laughing.
There's got to be laughter.
So, there's got to be laughter. And, a lot of hope.
Definitely.
There's just a lot of excitement and looking to the future and what's in store. So great. All right. Well, we will wrap this one up right at 40 minutes. And
we did the thing.
Look forward to the next time.
All right.
All right. Talk to you again soon, friend.
Bye.